I'll swallow your soul.
Swallow this.
I am the devil, and I know that you the devil's work.
Or like anytime, like when I was looking through for Christmas ones, I was trying to remember, shit, did we talk about that last year, or that one last year, or that one last year?
I think we talked about pretty much everything last year.
Yeah.
Which is why our Christmas one is short. Hopefully you listened to it, valued, loyal listeners. Two of you there.
Well, now...
Shout out.
Well, now that your Christmas is over.
Yeah, now that your
Christmas... How was your Christmas, Joey?
My Christmas was great. Yeah, it sure was.
I killed myself on Christmas.
We miss him very much.
We love Peter's ghost.
I'm just another Christmas suicide statistic.
We love Peter's ghost. Oh, that was it.
I wish I wasn't dead so I could kill myself again.
Why do you love killing yourself so much?
Because
life is only pain.
Because Jesus Christ, Christmas is terrible.
I hate Christmas too.
I'm very, very poor.
You're very poor?
Yes.
We're all very poor.
It does happen to everyone.
It makes Christmas quite difficult.
I know, I'm so lucky. I just have to get my money like per week, but my job screwed something up, so I'm technically coming from two companies, which means I have a second company coming in, which means I'm getting emergency tax, which means I'm getting like half my money.
Yeah. That sucks, dude.
It's so crazy.
You get emergency tax back, though.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... I'll get it all back.
That's the best thing about it.
Yeah, Christmas. Christmas was Christmassy. I totally finally watched Black Christmas, and I thought it was...
Very good.
Good.
Okay.
And whichever one works better.
Turning me on.
Well...
I have stuff that I want to watch on Christmas.
What do you want to watch at Christmas?
I have... Oh, shit. It's called Split Second.
Okay.
It's like Rucker Hare's in it. It's a cyberpunk movie.
That sounds
made
familiar.
In the middle of the 90s. He's some sort of weird bounty hunter because, you know, everyone's a blade hunter.
I love Rucker Hare. There's something about him that's just awesome.
Me too.
Always.
Rucker Hare is great. I don't know why he wasn't a bigger star.
Yeah.
Great name.
Apparently people thought he was very, like, he didn't have a very, he had a bad guy face.
Apparently he's quite method, or I always get the impression he's quite method.
I should probably mention I saw another Rucker Hare movie.
Go on.
Before. Well, actually, just on my list of things, I have to watch all of Legend of Korra because that just ended, and I can't go on Tumblr without seeing like the last two fucking frames of the last episode.
No.
Everywhere. It's like you fucked. Like it was seriously within minutes of the fucking.
Oh shit! Can we talk about it? The fucking Walking Dead did that. AMC did that on the Walking Dead website.
What happened?
They posted a massive spoiler for the episode that just ended. It was like the mid-season finale thing. They posted it when it ended on the East Coast before it even aired on the West Coast. And that's why I've been fucking counting people in other countries who won't see it for another few days.
Oh my god.
They posted the big fucking spoiler. And then they apologized and then it happened again a few days later with a different show.
Ha!
Like, fucking people.
It's really shitty. Like, I can't... The thing is, I'm in Europe. I can't go... This show only airs on the Nickelodeon website now for some reason because I don't know. Fucking idiots.
Is Gravity Falls still airing?
Yeah. On Disney XD, which is also internet only.
We should catch up on that.
So, like, it's the last season of the show. It ran for 4 seasons. It's also a sequel to another cartoon that ran for 3 seasons. It's a big deal. The only way I can watch it is if I'm an American and I go on Nickelodeon's website. Wow. So, like, I have to wait for something to go up on the torrent site. Somewhere to watch this fucking shit.
Not that we say that's good, it's not good, it's wrong.
Fuck it, there's no fucking legal way for me to watch this, so fuck it.
But this is what happened with Holliston, with me and you, I'm guessing, as well.
Oh like, my god, I was so devastated yesterday, I was gonna watch Holliston. And then I was like, fuck, I forgot this one fucking play.
Oh, why, because different region? Yeah, that's why, I mean, I'm lucky I have the fucking Region A Blu-ray that I got when I was in America. But
I meant to get one until I forgot.
Mega 64's Blu-rays are all region free.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Fuck you, Adam Green.
It's so annoying because so many companies do like a region ABC discs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like you think like fucking Holliston, which is one that I mean, it's just not around at different people. If they just made it ABC and they just advertise it as A, which all of them do, then no one would know to buy it except for people who buy it and then they go, oh, holy shit, I can actually watch it. But it is definitely just A because of
my other Holliston's fine.
Isn't it a DVD?
I don't know.
It's DVD, isn't it, Peter?
I don't know what it is.
I would hope you'd know.
But, right, so, like, I can't get this because fucking Pirate Bay's gone.
Yeah, it sucks ass.
I have to go to Kick Ass Torrents, which is a pile of shit.
Oh, like there's Kick Ass Proxy as well, which everything you click on brings up another ad pop up. Oh, and you can't just close it. You have to go in and go leave and shit like that.
Amazing.
I hear from a friend.
Yeah,
all the big torrent sites in Ireland are blocked. Get your fucking feet out of here.
But like, there's always going to be more that are going to pop up, and it's always going to be like, I mean, you can go to Pirate Bay as proxies and shit like that, and
no,
have all the different mirrored versions.
You can.
You totally can.
Still, I thought it was totally gone now.
It's completely gone because it was the mirror. What it is down. There's old.
Richard's going to try and go on it now.
No, your proxies will work. There's old Pirate Bay that's up right now, and.
And does that work?
Yeah, it's like someone hosted a really old mirror of it, and they've been teaching people how to, but it's like, it's about 4 months old.
Okay.
And there's no new torrents being tracked on it, or it just hasn't taken off yet.
But you know what's weird though? I mean, like, I've actually used those for legitimate things. Like, I have music up on that I put up as a torrent, and at the time, the only one I was really aware of was Pirate Bay, so that's what it's up on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fuck it, it's probably dead by now anyway.
Mm.
But at the same time, I mean, like, there's plenty of people using them for legitimate purposes like that, and it's just kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sort of saying there is legitimate uses for these things too.
Yeah, I remember getting, like, really big mods for games that were, like, the ones that would be huge, like, multiple gigs. Mm-hmm. People would just have to just throw it up and torrent it.
And you see, Nine Inch Nails fans have just released, like, every live show.
I've got two gigs of Nine Inch Nails ready for the taking.
That was 12 gigs.
Whatever.
Yeah, since, like, 1988 are up on as a torrent or whatever. And, I mean, I don't know how legit that is or not, but I'm guessing it might be legit.
I think it is legit because Trent Reznor was saying it was okay.
Yeah, but he says that and he kind of encourages people to do bad things. Encourage them to be bad little boys.
Trent Reznor is still angry. Best newspaper headline ever.
That's not true. There was that Irish
It was actually one. A magazine, sorry.
There was that Irish one about the transsexuals getting into stabbing someone in Dublin.
What?
Yeah, it was like this really crazy over the top headline about some transsexuals getting into a knife fight.
Oh, of course.
It was actually quite disrespectful. But anyway, yeah, so like there's that I got like all of Daria at one point.
Cool.
Great.
I woke up one night.
Gavin didn't know what
Daria
was.
Weird. What do you think of the idea of Daria being a live action thing with Aubrey Plaza?
I like it. Aubrey Plaza.
I think she is like fucking Daria.
She is Daria, right?
Oh, right. So I went and watched that. That's a fucking College Humor thing.
Is it?
Yeah. That's not a trailer.
What? They are gonna do it though. They are gonna do it.
It looked like absolute shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they are gonna do it.
Go on College Humor right now. It looks like everything else on College Humor.
How many seasons of Daria was there?
4 and 2 movies.
There's 2 movies?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They bridge, one bridges 3 and 4, and then the last one is kind of, is her going to college.
Cool.
I feel like I should probably try and watch those as well.
Where did she get into college?
What?
What did she do in college?
Oh, it's her
Kill
leaving
herself.
For college.
Oh, you don't know what she did in college?
No, it's just like her whole like high school kind of. It's her moving to the town from the town that Beavis and Butthead lived in.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's where she came from.
Okay.
She was in Beavis and Butthead.
But doesn't she know them?
She does know them.
Oh. It's just, she's like a spin-off from them, is she?
Yeah, she's a spin-off. I mean, so is Kingdale.
Ah, cool.
God damn it, them boys are whacking off in my two-shirt.
I remember King of the Hill. I remember Hank Hill in Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah,
he's like
in the
really
movie.
Rough.
Or he's in the movie.
Well,
he looks like shit. Them boys are whacking off in my two-shirt.
Well, I've singled out one day of Christmas holidays to watch American Horror Story Freak Show the whole winter.
Good idea. I love watching things in straight rows. Like, nothing better. I've been trying to get, like, me and Ali did it with House of Cards, you know, the biggest horror movie. No. That's actually so good.
I watched all of Space Dandy recently. Mm. Or not all of Space Dandy, all of season one, because that's all that's on Netflix.
I really want to finish watching
Space Dandy's great.
Season 3 of American Horror Story. It's quite enjoying Coven. I haven't finished it yet, though.
I don't like Coven at all.
That's it. We seem to be really on a different page, because like, I really didn't like Asylum, which you did.
I loved it.
I loved the first season. The first season's been the best, I think.
We can agree on the first season.
I think especially a big thing was that I didn't realize it wasn't going to be that for the second season. So like, the second last episode really goes like, oh shit, man, what's going to happen now? And then the final episode, you just really go, what?
Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
I don't like American.
I don't know how they're going to tie it all together, though.
I kind of lost my thing for it. I think it's possibly... I don't think American Horror Story's got a massive amount of legs left in it.
No,
I also think a lot of this horror shows are going to die out very quickly.
Apart from Hannibal.
No, God, I hope Hannibal
Which is perfection. What do you think about Michael Pitt being recast? Because apparently he's an asshole.
Yeah, I've heard that loads of times.
I've never heard that before.
Michael Pitt, Michael Pitt plays in Warlock Empire. He's in Dawson's Creek.
He played, he played the guy who got his face. He was cutting his own face off, remember? He was Catherine Isabel's brother.
Mason Verger in Hannibal. Have you watched him?
You definitely have seen him. He was really fancy and had glasses and he had pigs.
He has like blonde floppy hair.
He had the pigs, remember?
Oh, okay.
But he's in the remake of Funny Games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Remember that? He's quite the indie actor. But
yeah, the rumors are that he's a dickhead and that's why he was recast.
I'd say he's probably, apparently he's quite methody kind of. You get that impression that he is the indie.
He just seems like a fucking lunatic, to be honest with you.
But
I think he's a fantastic actor.
I wasn't expecting him to come back anyway. Like, I didn't think Mason Verger would come into the next season, really.
Well, I mean, but Gavin was like, but he has no face. So.
Apparently the guy who's replacing him, I recognize what people said he was from, but I don't know him. Apparently he's really good, so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, since the face is going to be covered anyway, you probably won't really know or care.
I loved the pictures of
Gary Oldman, just get him back.
Gary Oldman!
He was great.
I'd love to get, I'd love the pictures of Mads Mikkelsen and Hugh Dancy with their Funko figures.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Oh, and him with the cake.
The cake was good too, but that's because it was on the set and they were filming the bit where he was beating the shit out of Larry Fishburne.
So the thing I
said, and he was still in character, and Hugh Dancy was like, "Yay!" in the background.
The Rooker hair thing I said I watched.
Yeah.
Was Hobo with Shotgun.
Oh yes, go on. Oh, you didn't like it.
I had never really had any intention to watch it.
I didn't like it.
And then someone like kind of sold me on it. They were like, "Yeah, it's like fucking Death Wish." And I was like, "Well, shit, I'm gonna watch
Death
this."
Wish.
It is not like fucking Death Wish.
Maybe they meant Death Proof.
That's what I thought.
It's in line with those films, I thought. I think it's really Planet Terror territory.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's too...
It does have a certain grunge thing to it that's a bit much.
If someone does like a fake Grindhouse movie, I want it to have like that grit, that like shitty edge to it. I don't want it to have like the goofy fucking shit in it.
Well, that's it. It is kind of the goofy side of it all the way through.
It's so fucking goofy, and it's like,
Wasn't it based off Bum Fights?
There's a definite reference to Bum Fights in it.
There is, right? Remember Bum Fights? What the fuck was that?
I don't remember.
That guy
I went out with a lot of trouble. I went out with someone who was so obsessed with Bum Fights.
Weird. Do you remember when they had
Peter?
Do you remember when they had a Bum Fights thing with Veronica Mars?
Yeah! I love Veronica Mars. Soft spot.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that hurt.
Isn't it a spot then?
Don't fucking pop my back, Jesus. Ow.
It's his liver protruding.
It's like there's a fucking cut on my back. She's just like fucking fingering it.
Thought it was a spot.
Jesus. Yeah, it was like really goofy. And then like it gets even goofier. And then everyone swears way too much in that movie.
Yeah.
I sound like an old man saying it, but you know when it's like.
Too much. Too much.
You know when someone swears and it's kind of very casual, it's off the cuff, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And you're just like, whatever, okay, fair enough, that's just their language.
Yeah.
And then someone comes along, it's like, fuck you, you fucking whore bag cunt.
Actually, if I may say, in Sodium Party, the guy. James.
Danny.
He swears too much. He does.
He doesn't seem like a swearer.
Do you know what always gets in my mind? What's the fucking story?
What's the fucking story?
Cringe! Armpits!
Whoa, that's a good seg. Sodium Party last night, well, okay, lots of nights ago now, when this is airing, but we found out we won an award for Best Director at the Overlook 2014 in Rome.
Yay, Michael!
Which is so fucking cool.
I'm so glad you weren't Overlook.
Hey!
Yes!
Yes!
But you know
USA.
What?
USA! USA!
It's a weird festival thing, though, because it was a weird bittersweet thing, because when we found out we got in, it's like, oh, holy shit, we got into that film festival that's on in the hotel where The Shining was set, that inspired Stephen King's book,
because
there's a film festival there every year.
Oh, okay.
So cool. And we're like, oh, yeah, shit, yeah, and then we looked into it, it's like, no, this is Italian, what? And then it turns out it's in Rome, and at first we thought, wait, are the films shown out on the streets? This is really weird. But then it turns, I guess it's different venues, but there might still be some on the streets, but we were put into the European film category, and woo, they're actually really cool, especially considering we weren't there, the fact that we got the award.
That is super cool.
Yeah, like, I got home, and it was just, like, at the top of my Facebook feed, Michael got the emails from them, I didn't get anything, so I just happened to see it like anyone else would.
Mm.
And so I sent an email saying, important, read before you do anything else today. And Michael, who doesn't normally wake up or stay awake or whatever, but he was woken up by all the messages from me and them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was chatting till, like, 3 a.m., kind of, about that, and be like, ooh, cool. because that's a nice way to end the year, like 13 festivals and 2 awards.
So good.
And then we're talking about something else that we're working on the show. You guys know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
I love it. It's so good.
So
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You too. So good.
We could totally turn that into an entire episode. Yeah, so it was just such a good way to end the year. And like, I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of finish up the film, because all the film stuff I've really been looking into, it's really weird. You know the way everything can kind of be released VOD now?
Mm.
But it's such a fucking shady territory. Like, all the people who say they have distribution, if you see an indie film that says they have distribution, like a certain one we know that we saw.
I don't know.
Argo. Did he just say Argo?
He did say Argo.
Argo.
We're friends with Ben Affleck.
But
Argo was on in the US, and I watched it again. And I also watched Prisoners, which was very good.
Okay.
Not good enough now, but very good.
But like, a lot of these things, the distributors, they'll pick anyone up, because what happens is you have to pay them like $1,000 to go onto iTunes.
Right.
Because you have to give them a film. It has to be approved by iTunes. It has to go through someone who charges a lot for that. But they do that for you. And then, you know, if it fails, you have to pay again, all that kind of stuff.
How do we get into this business? I want to charge people $1,000 to send me movies.
It's really fucking tough. But then they charge you to go onto Amazon in the US and stuff like that. Which is funny, because it's actually not that difficult to get onto Amazon in the US, which Sodium Party, come the new year, I don't know when, but Sodium Party will go onto Amazon in the US so people can watch it there.
Be amazing.
We're probably going to do a short DVD run that'll probably just be sold online, and we're going to definitely do VOD stuff.
Dear Brian sold pretty well, didn't it?
Sold alright, yeah. I have like a box of it at home, though. I'd be like, you know, if anyone wants to buy Dear Brian's, cost price. But no, Sodium Party, like, because I've been working on a documentary, behind the scenes thing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a big fucking nerd for my special features and stuff.
You certainly are.
And there's like, I think there's good stories behind it all.
I agree.
So I'm hoping. Here's to hoping. Yeah, so kind of trying to wrap all the things up. And it's a good way to end the year with the award.
With some good news.
A good award to kind of wrap it up. Especially after some shitty times for us all. Like, Michael's car broke down and I've been having some shitty times at work and stuff like that. So it's good to kind of things wrap up in a nice way.
I know what you mean.
Trying to think, do I have any other news? I mean, like, oh yeah, I don't know if I should say, because I haven't signed the contract, but I'll be starting Exposé in January. Full-time job.
Exposé is a really shitty showbiz show over here in Ireland, and it's really embarrassing, and nobody can act on it.
They don't need to act. It's like a fucking they're journalist.
They're really unnatural.
But it's a fashion show. It's a weird thing that I'm on that, and like, I'm quite the choice for it as well.
It always uses girls on film, doesn't it?
No, possibly.
It does, because that's the cheapest music. I learned that in college.
Is it?
Yeah.
Girls on Film is cheap.
Yeah. You know the one that goes, do, do, do.
Yeah, I know Girls on Film.
Yeah, listen to it. That's what they use on Exposé.
I'm sure I'll find this all out soon enough.
But yay for you.
I'm going to use the MIDI version of it.
Because I'm still trying to finish off that short film I shot a few months ago, because that was always supposed to be kind of on the side of things. So
make a horror film.
No, that is a horror.
Make another horror film.
There's plans hopefully for that to happen, and this could hopefully facilitate that.
Be so cool.
And then we also still have to do our little thing. That.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which is,
yeah, the sex thing.
It's about time.
I told Richard.
Horror bones.
I told Richard when he was going away to Boston that I was going to make a sex tape while he was away, and he's like, I don't know if I'd watch that. I'm like, who are you kidding? Of course you would.
It's like no recollection of this.
It's like in Zack and Miri. It's like, I hate Rosie O'Donnell, but if someone's like, Rosie O'Donnell's on a sex tape, I'm fucking watching that.
I haven't watched anyone's sex tape.
No.
I've watched...
I definitely haven't seen any of the famous ones.
I saw Paris Hilton's one, definitely.
You know what would be disturbing? Yeah. One Night in China. That I don't want to see.
Yeah, I don't want to see that ever.
Do you think Xbox gives her the Bronco Buster?
What?
You know it's like Xbox in China fucking.
That's very disrespectful. That's not cool.
It's very disrespectful.
They made a sex tape.
I never saw Kim Kardashian's sex tape.
I saw that one too.
I never saw Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
I wouldn't watch that now.
Someone made a joke about him getting gassed.
Ha! Okay.
Who else? What are some of these sex tapes?
That's a good segue for my news. Because the site that I edit.
Sex tape.
No. The site that I edit, the wrestling site Gorilla Press, hit an amazing amount of views yesterday, and we're really, really, really happy. It's awesome. And we've had such a good year. We had, like, Justin Roberts message me personally to say that he really liked something I wrote. Oh. We've had contact from loads of different people, and it's been really awesome, so it's going really well.
It's such a good name for it as well.
Gorilla Press.
It's either that or a really good name for an indie film site.
Yeah! Actually, people have been giving out about the layout, but we really like the layout.
I've only read it on my phone. So
Mark keeps... Can you read it okay, though?
Yeah, well, the photos seem very randomly placed.
Of course, yeah. But
I have one complaint about it.
Yeah, go on.
I don't think the text is in high enough contrast. That's the end.
I don't know if you can... See, WordPress is a piece of shit, because, like, unless you pay them, you have to keep paying them to keep editing it.
Well, that's it. Like, we have the weird pretty site, and that costs a fucking fortune every year.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
But, I mean, it's really controllable, everything on it, though. Although our bears disappeared. Hopefully, by the time this is online, I'll find them. But, like,
yeah, where are your bears?
We'd hidden bears, and they disappeared. Probably because we had
kept... I found the hidden bears.
Yeah, Michael kept fucking putting joke things on the site, and I kept having to get rid of them. And I don't know, the bears seem to have moved away as a consequence.
Aw. But aside from that, I'm writing for a new site called Wicked Horror under one of my favorite critics of all time, which is so cool.
Woo!
And I still can't believe it. Every time he emails me, I still kind of like freak out because it's so awesome that we're buddies. And I was like, I know Adam Green, which is a lie. I know him to see. I don't think he actually knows my name.
I like the fact that he's going to have seen that thread about...
He's never reading that. He's not reading that fucking long thread. If he did, I'm sure he'll appreciate my movie reference, which is all that it was. It was not me coming on to him. Okay?
Are you seriously talking about a thread?
What? There was a little thread.
Talk about real things.
Oh. I've become obsessed with asking questions in the Movie Crypt when I see them post saying, this week's guest is, get your questions in now. And like, I'm here now. I've been on the movie. Well, I'm on. They've asked my questions twice.
Did they really? That's so cool.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing.
Did they read out your name?
Yeah. First time it was like Richard W, and last time was Richard Waters.
Oh, I must have missed...
I mean, name check, biatch.
I must have missed the Richard W one. I want to be read out on Weird Entertainment, but anyway, look. So I'm writing for Wicked Horror right now, which is so cool.
I was writing out Meg's.
And...
Were you?
That was really cool.
That's so cool.
But yeah, I'm writing for...
Out of the water.
I'm writing for Wicked Horror now. It's been really fun. It's a really, really awesome site. And Tyler's really awesome to work under as well, because he's a proper editor. I'm trying to think, what have I written? I've written loads of stuff for them already, but the next one I'm going to be writing is The Woman in Black 2.
Oh, have
because,
you seen it?
No, not yet. But because I'm technically the British correspondent, so obviously I get the British film. But I'm actually,
they
it's the
sure
very...
call that Bloomin' in Black.
Blue.
Bloomin' in Black.
Blue. Because two. Blue.
Checkers.
Checkers. It's actually called Angel of Death.
What?
Angel of Death. Yeah! Apparently Machine Head did a cover of Last Christmas.
Did I just go into Rain Blood there? Whoops.
I think you did. But we were going to kind of breeze past it. But anyway,
I apologise to anyone's ears.
I'm doing Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death. It's out on New Year's Day. So it's the very first film of 2015, very first horror film. I'm actually really stoked for it because you remember we saw Woman in Black together. I really liked it.
Yeah, I quite liked it too.
As Hammer goes, it was quite good. It was spooky. Yeah. It was a bit ghost trainy. Peter did not believe that Daniel Radcliffe played a widower with a child.
No, he is the worst. He was such bad casting in that film.
I loved him, because I always do, but it was a stupid character for him. Why couldn't he just be a young man?
He's our age, so when they made that, he was like 25.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unrealistic that he would have had a kid that age in that date and time, but I just don't like him. I couldn't buy him as a father.
You still have
it's like, you know, it's the most awkward, like, you know, come here, son.
And that was
I love you, son.
And that was his nephew as well.
Son, I love you, son.
Did you see Horns?
I haven't. I've only seen the trailer so far.
I fucking missed it. I was so annoyed. I really want to see it.
I'd say it's going to be... Well, it's definitely VOD in America already.
Okay.
Actually, I find out... Actually, for people who might be of interest in trying to get films from the US legally, I believe Vudu.com, V-U-D-U, actually is possible to get films, because they... You're supposed to be in the US, but... And I haven't tried it since I got back, because I got a film when I was over there, but most of them won't let you because you need a US registered card. However, I paid through my PayPal, which is registered to the UK, and I was able to get a film. So I think that means I can still probably get films from when I'm here from there with my account from over there.
I don't like paying for videos on demand.
There's something about it I don't like. I hate the idea that they could just disappear. There is something about that. In theory, they shouldn't, but in reality, I think I told you this before. I've got the Trent Reznor music, like,
yeah,
for social
network, gone.
And it's just fucking gone. Like my own copy is there, but the download link is gone. So one of my files is corrupt, and what can I do about that?
You know? Because when you buy an album, you get like a zip file.
Mm.
So it's never going to go anywhere. You have it forever.
Mm.
Well.
It's like, theoretically, but it's like, what's the fucking point? Mm.
I did wipe two hard drives this week.
So that's what happens, though.
I rebuilt my computer with other parts. I had all this like crazy shit happen, where like, I bought a new graphics card, then I tried to put it in, and then I didn't have enough power for it, so I went out and bought
power.
And so set all that up, and it turned out that my motherboard didn't support it.
Oh.
despite it actually support, like, it would physically support it, but the BIOS
had
never been updated. So I bought a new motherboard, and then the motherboard was too big for my case, so I bought a new case.
Jesus, so you got a new computer, basically.
Mm-hmm. And also, the RAM I had in there was DDR2, and the motherboard I bought only took DDR3.
So I bought two
sticks of RAM.
Yeah, so he literally had this computer. Like, it was amazing to watch the skill involved, but
I couldn't do this.
I couldn't do it. Definitely not. Well, you know, I'm a fucking idiot.
So I built it from, basically ended up building a new computer from scratch.
I had to
watch. Which I didn't intend to do, like, that's all my savings.
I had to watch, like, NXT TakeOver last week, because I had to review it for Wrestling's Last Hope. And I rang him up, and I was like, the network isn't working, I need this. And he was like, have you tried putting the wire into the router? And I'm like, oh, right, yeah, grand.
Yeah, she was trying to watch the network on the PlayStation.
Such an idiot.
And she didn't. Couldn't. Plugged into.
It was so stupid. We got to talk about Tusk.
Well, I was going to say, like, the only thing that, the only original stuff from my other, from my old computer that's in this new one are the hard drive.
Godzilla looks like a turtle because it's fallen over.
The hard drive, the Blu-ray, and the CPU. Everything else is new.
Crazy. So, like,
wait, WrestleMania main event.
In terms
of Godzilla versus The Rock,
like, it was still way cheaper than buying a new computer.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
Say, like, I mean, in terms of
parts,
cost, like, I mean, one, is it, because I mean, since a computer like that is probably going to set you back like a grand or so, like.
My old computer when I bought it was the most expensive thing I've ever bought in my entire life.
Yeah. I remember you being so proud when you bought it.
I was like,
he was so proud.
It was like literally the first thing I ever like properly saved up for, and like splashed out on, like, that this is my equivalent of buying like a new, my first car or something.
I never even thought about that. My car is probably my most expensive
1400
purchase.
You got me
Euro?
A laptop as well. Remember?
That probably wasn't as expensive.
No, it wasn't, but it was like a massive investment.
Well, your other computer is like a raging pile of shit.
Oh, Jesus,
in fairness, I had it before, like, my dad had it before me for years, so it did last quite a long time.
It was 10 plus years old.
And it was still working.
And she was trying to, like, the startup on that was seriously, like, 10 minutes.
Ugh.
But, yeah, so, like, I did all that, so I lost a lot of old stuff. I have all the podcasts backed up, though.
Great. That's the most important thing.
Her archive, in case someone ever comes looking for them.
I just decided I should keep it. But basically, like, spent the last 2 days. I spent, like, 3 days putting it together and getting everything working.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's literally just, like, trying to remember my old passwords.
Oh. I hate that shit.
I have them all written down and hidden somewhere, but, like, some of them I didn't.
Like, I always clear my history. I always clear my history in work in case anyone ever figures out how to use a computer in there. But it's so annoying because then the next week it's like, what's this password? I don't remember anything.
Like, I need to get a bunch of old programs still and stuff like that. But, there was something else I watched.
Yeah, go on.
But before I did all this, I finally saw a movie I've been promising to see myself. Or to
show yourself.
Whatever. it was called Nemesis.
Okay.
And I thought it was made by that guy who made those things, but he didn't.
Are you talking about Yui Ball?
No, that toy mask.
No one's ever
Charles Band, okay.
No one's ever talking about Yui Ball, okay?
If
only.
It's another fucking cyberpunk movie, and it's made by crazy people. It's just crazy people. Someone has described that as like a half hour, 40-minute long-ish action sequence. Like, just shit just keeps happening. It's felt like this. It's very Gibson-esque. I've never seen a movie that like captured Gibson properly.
Mm-hmm.
Where like everything looks old, kind of. In Gibson's future, it was like technology progressed, but like
everything
else
stayed the same.
Yeah. Kind of just everything got dilapidated. People stopped building. People started like repurposing stuff.
Was my brother's problem with Interstellar, by the way. He didn't say it was boring. He said that was fucking retarded to say that. But he said that it was the exposition. It was, oh, well, the Earth has died out now. We don't need pilots anymore. I'm also an engineer.
Yeah, but you need that shit in a film, though. I mean, like, you need stuff to move the plot along. I didn't think it was clunky.
I didn't think it was clunky either, to be honest with you.
When you've seen it, maybe, you know, you can see a bit more where it's clunky. But if you're watching it for the first time, I don't think it reads as clunky.
I think he had a problem as well when they were in. This actually stood out to me, I must admit. When it was the three of them up in space and your man was explaining the black hole. Mm. And he was like, come on now, this guy's an engineer.
That stood out to me because it was a scene from Event Horizon.
Well, that and it was kind of, this is just for the audience, isn't it? But unfortunately, it has to be done.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Sorry, like,
sorry, that I just meant.
Let's see, Oliver Gruner is.
Nobody thinks Interstellar is boring apart from stupid people.
Who he's like some sort of Germanic. This he might be Austrian or something. He has the most wooden fucking acting ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's like part human. Tim Thomerson, do you know who he is? Mm-hmm. You know if you saw him, he plays basically Tim Thomerson.
Mm-hmm.
He swears a lot. It's amazing. Let's see, Tom Jane's in it.
Oh, I just want my kids back.
A very, very, very young, naked Tom Jane.
Oh.
A very naked young Tom
Jane. I'm intrigued.
The entire time Tom Jane is in this movie, he is butt naked.
Do you see everything?
You see the back of his balls.
He gets his lad out. It's just for a minute, but you get the picture.
Deborah Shelton's in it. She fucks the shit out of him. Who else? Sven Ole Thorsen, who is another person. Lots of people you know if you saw.
Right, character actors.
Jackie Earle Haley's in it.
I love him!
We're like...
I believe in you, Jackie Earle Haley. It wasn't your fault that you couldn't move your face. It wasn't your fault.
Seriously, less than a minute.
Why are you Brian screaming? James? I haven't even cut you yet.
You'd know Brian James, too, doing a really, really bad German accent.
Okay, why are we going through this cast list?
Why? Because it's shit. Okay. It's shit. It's such a dumb fucking movie.
So after all this time, have you waiting to see it?
No, yeah, see... Okay, I'm only bringing this up because there's a trailer on YouTube for this. The trailer it's one of those like really fucking long trailers. It's like 4 minutes. You see like half the fucking movie in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
What's it called again?
Nemesis.
Okay.
But so you're saying that all the stuff in the trailer makes it seem mad and crazy, and then you see it in the context of a film and it's just shit?
We will link it on Facebook.
I'm saying the exact opposite of that. I'm saying you see all this crazy shit and you're like, this movie's got to be crazy, and then you watch it. It's a fucking crazy movie. It's absolutely...
So it's not disappointing. You're going to break your Godzilla and you only just got him.
It does not disappoint. If
he was
like
in the WrestleMania main event with The Rock.
Okay, okay. But if you're like me, this...
Fucking Rock's going to win anyway.
I was talking about how we got a shotgun earlier, how that seems to be like very, very overdone and drawn out. And all the like goofiness in it is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's like any goofiness in it was actually done with a complete straight face.
I like when you can tell that, though. That really amuses me.
I think that's even better when a film... Like, that's why I've left Zombie Flesh Eaters 2 with you guys. Like, that's exactly that kind of film.
I went to watch that the other day and then I think I watched Two Thrills instead.
It's not a bad trade-off. You just have to watch it, though. You'll enjoy it.
You can tell people cared about
Mark
this movie.
Mark really likes it, actually.
People worked very, very hard on this movie.
That's sad. It's like one of Richard's movies.
And it's still very, very entertaining and crazy, but it's also, like, really tough. It's great. I'd say check it out.
Check it
out if you like robots.
Robots.
Well, speaking of crazy, we saw Tusk finally.
Finally out. Well, it's out on VOD on Vudu, by the way.
It's on Vudu. It's on iTunes. That's where I got it. I got it off iTunes.
Is it on iTunes UK yet, though? I don't think it is.
How did I get it then?
I don't know. Because you're probably able to guess it from the US, are you? I don't know.
I have no idea. But I definitely got it on iTunes. Anyway, but yeah, we were waiting for it for a very long time. I tweeted about it, actually, that I was waiting for it for so long that I was kind of trepidatious when it came time to watch it because... Yeah. Even, like, yesterday I watched an interview with him where he was saying that, like, he made Clerks because Clerks was the movie that nobody was ever going to make.
Mm.
And he said that's how he feels about Tusk as well. Mm. I don't know. Obviously, I reviewed it for Gore Press. I think I gave it, like, a 7, which is, you know, a strong 7.
Yeah.
I still don't quite know what I think because Red State was such a shock because it was just so fucking brilliant. And it was just... Why are you laughing?
Without you, I'm an us.
A husk.
An husk.
Yeah. Okay, go on. Anyway, so yeah, Red State was just so brilliant. I think you really liked Red State too, didn't you, Peter?
Yeah.
We went to see it in the cinema and it was just because it was so brave and it was, I still think, quite scary.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think in terms of horror films, it's really up there.
It's a really
intense film.
For modern horror,
it doesn't go first, second, third act or whatever. It has a very bizarre structure to it, which helps.
And I like the ending. I know there was kind of the joke about he wanted to do the rapture and then realized it would be very expensive and blah, blah.
I hate when people say, oh, he should have done that. I don't think so.
Bullshit. That's fucking bullshit.
That would be a horrible ending.
And first off, he was never serious about actually doing that, you realize. Like, that's an anecdote.
It would have been very brave.
It would have been brave, but I mean, he had Dogma, which dealt with very similar themes. It would have been kind of a weird...
I think the obvious actual ending would have been the actual rapture in a way. I don't think it wasn't that film. It's after it happened. You wouldn't have gone, no, I can't believe he went there. It would be more like, oh, yeah, and I was waiting for it to happen, and then it actually happened because fuck that guy.
Yeah, which is just too,
whereas
it's too easy.
Yeah.
And I love...
Whereas with me, I just love when movies just go absolutely crazy, and you're like, what just happened?
Well, then maybe you should watch Tusk, because it does go there. You're like, oh, it's not going to go, oh, okay, it is. He's a Tusk. He's a walrus.
Yeah, but I already know that it was in the trailer.
You don't see it in the trailer.
Yeah, you do.
You don't see him.
No.
You definitely don't, Peter. You don't.
I've seen stills of him.
You've probably seen stills,
yeah. You've seen stills of him. Okay, we know people were quite sniffy about it on Facebook, not naming any names. People who, first off, hadn't seen it and just hate Kevin Smith.
Can we go with this? I fucking hate when people go at Kevin Smith just because it's trendy to hate Kevin Smith. I mean, okay, I get it. Like, you know, maybe some things you don't like in terms of the way he's a personality on Twitter.
But he makes... In Jay and Silent Bob, he makes that joke about himself. Mm. Why would I want to continue writing about characters whose central preoccupation is weed and dick and fart jokes?
Yeah.
But that's actually not what he... I genuinely mean this when I say Clerks 2 is a movie that I genuinely feel like represents me.
Yeah.
And my friends.
Yeah.
I feel like that's us.
I think it's a fair representation, yeah. But like, I can't get it. It's really a trendy thing of people to hate him. Because this, I know who you're talking about. Like, they were hating on him because of the fact, you know, someone else said, oh, I saw it, I didn't like it. And then
Which is fair enough.
But decided to go on about, you know, how to hate Kevin Smith. And then this other person who hadn't seen it was going, oh, yeah, I bet it's probably really bad and because of this and that and all. Like, no, you can't make that kind of judgment, especially someone who should know better. You can't make these judgments on someone. I mean, like, we make jokes about Uwe Boll, but, or Uwe, whatever. But, but at the same time, you know, I can't really say... I've heard certain actual decent-ish things about his Auschwitz film.
Me too.
So, I mean, I can't really go judging it without seeing it, you know? I mean, I can say...
But there
like,
was no...
House of Dead 1 and 2 suck. I don't think he did the second one, pardon me. And Alone in the Dark sucks, you know? I mean, what I've seen sucks, but I can't say that for all of his films.
But at the same time, there was no mention of Red State, which is what I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah.
There was no mention of Red State.
Yeah.
Did they think Red State sucked? Or were they shocked because it was so different to Red State? Or is there just no mention of Red State because it was actually a fucking brilliant film?
Yeah. Jersey Girl.
I've got a face for Jersey Girl. I think it's okay.
I don't hate Jersey Girl either. I know what you mean. I talked to somebody quite recently, actually, who said that he, our age, said that he used to love Kevin Smith and then he kind of grew out of the films, but he still felt kind of a nice nostalgia for them. That I can understand. I think my brother's kind of getting to that stage.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I might watch Mallrats the same way, but, like, Chasing Amy and Dogma, I can still watch and go, like, I get those. They're
like,
still my day.
Like, I still love Jay and Silent Bob. I still laugh just as hard at that, and I've seen it a million fucking times. I love Clerks, too, obviously. I love Clerks. I think Clerks is a fucking brilliant first film, and I still think it's an amazing triumph. But I know what you mean. I don't like disregarding a film, first of all, that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Second of all, because the director doesn't tend to do this kind of stuff. Because Tusk, for me... Oh, the other thing was that it was because it was a stoned conversation. I think it far exceeds the fact that it came from two people talking while they were stoned.
Why
far exceeds
problem?
It.
One person.
Hmm?
Mosher doesn't smoke.
Mosher wasn't stoned?
No.
No.
It was just Kev?
Yeah.
It's always just Kev.
Oh my god! How is he standing that? Mosher must be like, shut up. Is Mosher sober?
I don't think he's... No, he drinks, but, like, that's really it.
Well, anyway.
He might be getting, like, you know, stoned off residual smoke.
Probably. Regardless, I definitely, definitely enjoyed it. It definitely freaked me the fuck out. It freaked me out in much the same way the Human Centipede freaked me out, just because it was weird. And I know I talked to Anita about it afterwards, and she said that she didn't understand the ending.
Mm.
She thought, kind of, why couldn't he be saved at the risk of spoiling it? But I thought that was what was so horrifying about it, was that his, you know, either way, his life was just totally ruined. But one of my favourite parts of it, and I said it in my review, because I reviewed it for Gorepress, and it was actually quite a difficult review to write, because I wasn't really quite sure how I felt about it, but one of my favourite parts of it was how honest the portrayal of Justin Long's character was.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he has that speech, Bob, what is it? Turtle's freaking out. He wants to be part of it. Maybe he has opinions on walruses. I don't know. But he...
Should have been turtles.
Turtles would have been creepy, too, because you would have had to get a shell. But, I loved his speech to his girlfriend, and she was saying that she preferred the old him. Mm. And he said no, he preferred the new him, even though he was a dick.
Yeah.
I thought that was really brave, and it was a really good representation of people like that, especially in the internet age, who find fame, who aren't necessarily expecting to find fame, and then just completely lose the run of themselves.
Yeah.
And there are so many people like that, even who have a small smidgen of fame. I see them on fucking Facebook all the time, complaining, whining, and then when something goes right, they're fucking telling everyone as though they've won a fucking Oscar. Yeah. And it is sad, but you know those people are happy like that. They're much happier like that.
But it's a weird thing. I mean, I've seen it. I told you about this. Like, I see it with a lot of people that I know, like, because I have the film things happening. I have a lot of actors and stuff, and a lot of wannabe producers and stuff.
Mm.
People who are chasing their dream, which is great for them. But you see people, you know, they have this weird delusional veil in front of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where, say, someone goes like, yes, here's this new hit TV show that I'm a part of. It's fantastic. It's amazing.
Mm.
Now just go on to Indiegogo and fund our money so we can make our web series. So you're trying to sort of fucking sell me as on your hit TV show that you don't have money for, hasn't been made, and is going to be a web series. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time for this, but like, I mean, that's where I saw that. I saw Justin Long's character in that film as, again, this kind of person, you know, he's having that success or whatever. But I mean, podcasting, it's very like easy. A radio show. It's
very easy.
It's, you know, it's something that can kind of just go away, can go disappear so quick. I mean, we're in an age of podcasting at the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change. I mean, I don't know if they're going to migrate to a different kind of internet radio or whatever. Like the way blogs have kind of change into full-on sites, you know what I mean?
But even when you listen to something like Talk is Jericho,
He's
fucking selling you shit the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though the podcast is free.
Yeah.
Because that's what he has to fucking do to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very... Considering Kevin Smith's podcast itself is very, very popular, it was very brave to show that, you know, these guys actually aren't working that fucking hard. Maybe they don't really deserve this.
Yeah.
And he actually doesn't even really appreciate it. Yeah. And maybe he did kind of get what was coming to him. What did you think? I think we talked about this briefly, about the cameo.
I thought that was great. Like, I mean,
Did you really like it?
I mean, it was fucking annoying because Bloody Disgusting spent pretty much weeks of their time ready to spoil that for everyone.
And in the review, it didn't even. I mean, it was a disgraceful review. Number one, I don't know who wrote that, but I'm sorry, BD. That person should be fucking fired. Can't even string a sentence together. God help them. And they're getting paid, but also I presume they have editors. But not even a warning that, oh, you know, stop reading now if you don't want this spoiled. Yeah. It literally was. And the cameo from...
Yeah.
So, it totally ruined it for me. And I wasn't even looking to ruin it for myself for once. And I mean, not that I give a shit. I don't actually particularly like that actor anymore. I did think it was stunt casting 100%. But then I thought he seemed like he was enjoying himself.
But I mean, I think it works very well. Because I mean, he's obviously part of the Kevin Smith universe now.
For sure.
With certain films that are coming down the pipeline, you know, with family members. Like, it's the exact same way, you know, how Ben Affleck kept appearing and Matt Damon kept appearing in the films.
Of course.
And I mean, I think that's fine. Like, that's part of the charm of Kevin Smith films, is that they're a universe as opposed to just this person here or there. Like, Ralph Garman appears in Tusk as well. I can't remember
what... Who's he?
I can't remember the person. He's the sheriff or whatever. Something... But it's something Garman.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
With the funny accent on, like, the real stereotypical Canadian.
Oh, my God! I didn't even cop him! Oh, my God! I knew he was familiar!
And, like, Secret Stashley is the person standing by the counter in the convenience store who... I've watched one of the Secret Stashley videos on YouTube, and I'd never watch another one. But
yeah, it was...
She just was like a comic book kind of thing. But I know my feelings on the film. I said this to you, because I remember you were messaging me saying you didn't know what to make of it. I thought it was like Human Centipede for a PG-13 generation, really.
See, I don't know if I quite agree with that, because I thought it was still quite... Like, Peter's mom actually asked me when we were over, because she reads all my stuff, and fair play. Yeah, she actually asked me when we were over with them last weekend if it was quite gory. And I said to her... You know what? It was gorier than I was expecting it to be. Though it was quite... Like, the surgery parts were quite horrifying.
I don't know, but...
Especially when he's giving that whole speech, and you think you're not going to see anything, and then you fucking do. Because you know that stuff really gets me.
Yeah. I know, I mean, like, I still... I don't think, in the context of it, I thought it was a very... What would be a way to describe it?
It wasn't hard, anyway.
No, it didn't feel... I mean, I always... Like I said... I always feel like Human Centipede is more because of its context and tone, everything feels worse than it actually is, whereas this one, you know, maybe it felt less bad than it was because of its tone.
But then the great thing about comedy horror that I always find is that you're laughing, and then the shocks really get you because you're kind of lulled into a false sense of security where you feel quite happy, and then all of a sudden it's like shit. Like that first, I mean, I know, again, people were being sniffy about the costume. I loved it. I remember Kevin Smith writing about the costume, saying it was latex, saying that Justin Long was fucking really uncomfortable. He drools the entire time he's in that costume. Yeah. He's just drooling. Yeah. And the scream, guttural scream.
See, a part of it I thought that a lot of people were having an issue with, because I saw people complaining about the effects or whatever. But I mean, the suit he's in, it's supposed to be a suit. It's not like that's his body now.
Exactly.
Which when I first saw it, it's like, wait, how did he make him into that? Like, did he expand his body or whatever? But then you see, you know... You understand that, oh no, this is actually something around him. So he could be taken out of that and he's still just in there.
Exactly.
That's
what's so horrifying.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's kind of a big part of that. Maybe it wasn't conveyed enough for some people. I don't know.
But it's made out of human skin, isn't it? Yeah, like it is, other people. Yeah. Which is gross and weird.
Yeah, sure, there's another face on it and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of people are just kind of trying to reach in to hate the Kevin Smith thing. I can see why people wouldn't like the film. It's nowhere near as good as Red State. It's definitely not. I don't think it's one of the better Kevin Smith films, but it's no cop out, you know?
Oh, it's certainly not.
Like, in terms of gonzo bizarre horror films, I put it up there with something like Rubber, which I guess, you know, you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's much easier to watch than Rubber. It's got a lot of laughs in it.
Clever. Lot of laughs. It's clever.
Yeah.
And it's, and the acting, I'm sorry, the performances, and I have to say, Justin Long, I said this in my review, it's definitely one of his bravest performances. It's totally against type.
Yeah.
And he was in Zack and Miri as, what was it? Oh, shit. What was his name in Zack and Miri?
I don't know if he was...
Randy St. Randy or something?
Randy St. John?
Randy something, but he was brilliant.
Yeah.
But this is him totally playing against type, because obviously he's always kind of the nice guy and he's always kind of the loser. And I loved that he had this horrible, like, arsehole mustache and he had this speech where he was just like, yeah, I'm an arsehole, what of it?
But it's nice though, because, like, I mean, at the beginning you're following him and it's his journey. And, like, you know, you can see he is a bit of a dick, but you're kind of able to live, get with him. You can see where he's coming from.
You can still empathize with him.
It does a great thing where it has a revisionist history, though. I guess it's the opposite. It starts off revisionist and then it changes to what the actual reality was.
Which is great.
Which I think is, it's got some really clever things. It's very weirdly paced mishmash of the film. Like, once
Scott Pilgrim.
Ha!
Well, it's not as easy to watch as Scott Pilgrim.
No, I just mean he's an unreliable narrator. He like forgets stuff.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
It's that's a good way of putting it. He's definitely an unreliable narrator, and it's great to see Haley Joel Osment first of all get a role for a play.
He's very good in it.
He's very good, and it's good to see kind of his perspective too. And
dead people.
It's nice to see.
Wait, was that him? Did I fuck up?
No, that was him.
Okay.
It's nice to see kind of, I like when you see a character through other people's eyes. I think that's a great narrative tool.
Yeah.
Because that way you don't have to have someone standing there going, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, even when they have the conversation about how he's fucking groupies, it kind of isn't even really necessary because that was already inferred. You already kind of knew.
Yeah. So, I mean, the downsides for me for the film were, like, I mean, I thought Michael Parks was great, and I thought his character was great.
Not
I
as well suited to him as Aiden Cooper, though.
Not at all.
Definitely not.
I thought it was a bit weird. Like, the biggest thing, oddly enough, was this one piece of costume was he had, like, the neckerchief. which, oddly enough, that really took me out away from him. But, I mean, I was able to get behind his stories. I was able to understand his passion. I felt like I could believe him as a character.
Speeches were...
Yeah, they're great.
And did you love, I think I said in my review, the wide shots of them two having a chat with the fireplace. I just thought that was so...
Yeah. And like,
it was very well captured.
I saw someone complain about it being a very static movie. That's
totally
not true.
Disagree.
This
totally
is completely
disagree.
True. This is people when people say that they're talking about Kevin Smith from Clerks. Clerks, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, wherever. But he has not been a static filmmaker for a long
time.
But
it didn't even bother me when he was. That's such a lazy argument.
Yes.
It's lazy. And I'm sorry, most of the time it comes from wannabe filmmakers who are going, I could do better.
Yeah.
Then do better. He did Clerks with his mates down the shop.
Yeah.
Could do Clerks right now.
When the cameo comes into the film, I think it changes the entire pace of the film, and so it's kind of a real film of two halves in that way.
It rushes it a little bit.
It draws itself out. Like, I mean, you get a couple of long monologues from this character, which I think kind of, it's weird because it takes away from the main action of the actual, you know, Justin Long story, which when you get to it, I mean, you get some really creepy kind of stuff happening, but in a way it feels like it didn't delve deep into it for me. Like, I didn't feel disgusted by the film. I didn't feel pushed to the limits by the film. I felt it was a crazy gonzo bit of a film that I could, you know, you could watch with people. It seems like a good one to watch as a group with popcorn and go, you know?
And laughing. Yeah. And...
Like, I mean, I don't know who the fuck would be expecting it to have been, like, you know, the next, I don't know, Babadook or whatever. Because that seems to be what people want.
Preferred it to the Babadook, must say. Is that a good segue into our top picks of 2014?
Yes,
you should totally move on.
But I don't think either of us include the Babadook, because I think, as we've talked about before, the Babadook, you don't get it.
I'm still shocked. Mm. And I must say, I read a news story today where it said the Babadook actually bombed in Australia.
Yeah.
And isn't this shocking? I don't think that's shocking at all. That film doesn't look like Australia to me, and it doesn't, I just don't, that's not an Australian fucking horror film. It's just an Americanized horror film.
Well, I mean, I like films that are shot internationally that can go travel internationally, no problem. But I mean, I don't see why this film was so great. I mean, I told you when I was watching it again, I watched it a second time.
You hate it even more.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember. When I was watching it, I could go, okay, well, that's that film, that's that film, that's that film.
Yes.
I realized it was a mishmash of other better films, and I wish I could remember some of them, because I couldn't, especially even when I filmed you.
I mean, I think I actually said in my review of it that there were bits of, you know, everything you could think of, like let's just say mad films like Evil Dead, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, yeah. anything you could possibly think of, there was a bit of it.
Yeah.
And they're saying people are keep going on about the performances. Fine, but great performances do not a great film make. And I did not give a shit about that woman and her bratty child.
I still completely disagree with people who think there's justification with their characters. She's an annoying woman.
She's a terrible mother.
And there's no way for me to sort of compensate with her by the fact that she doesn't try to make her child not be a brat. Why does it, and the child sort of stops being a brat by himself? And like, on one level, I can see how it kind of works as it goes on. Like, you know, towards the end, it becomes more typical in that, you know, they're having that the mother-son bond or whatever. But, I mean, there's no real reason for it. It's just kind of more, okay, well, films normally have this happen. So let's have this fucking shithead of a kid become...
I feel like it's very by the book, to be honest with you. Mm. And I mean, I know we watched it late. But it was after a day of fantastic films.
Yeah.
We were in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, and we were excited for it. The trailer was excellent. I saw the trailer after we'd seen it when we got back home, and I thought, this trailer looks better than the fucking film, to be honest.
Yeah.
For me, it was not a fun watch. It was a taxing watch. Yeah. I did not like the characters. I saw exactly where it was going. We knew this kid was going to have a big turnaround and have a call to action. Why? I don't know. He's a child who's supposedly terrified.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to strangle him, as I've said many times. I wanted to strangle her, too.
Yeah.
She kind of, like, she pushed everyone away and essentially made them hermits. And I still don't really understand why.
Yeah. I mean, again, rewatching it, because I went in trying to be a bit more open-minded.
Yeah.
Kind of go, okay, I know how I felt the first time. I'm going to watch it now, kind of away from the vacuum, knowing what my initial reaction is, seeing if I can just enjoy it. And I really couldn't.
Just not, no. Not an enjoyable film. Compared to other stuff we saw, I know people have a lot of problems with Zombie Beavers. They're saying it's sexist. To me, that was more fun. Mm. To me, that was more inventive.
Yeah.
And to me, I thought, this could go either way. It's either going to be everyone dies or one lives or whatever. I was more interested to see what happened with the fucking shitty-looking beavers.
It's funny. I mean, the only film I can think of that kind of hit that kind of supernatural kind of feel or whatever in a house and family kind of being pulled apart was a film called The House at the Edge of Time.
Oh, yeah, you liked that.
I quite liked. I mean, like, I'm listening on Killer POV, they brought it up as well.
Mm.
And they felt the same kind of way where it's not a perfect film or whatever, but it is a shockingly watchable. It has a good few scares. It's quite tense. And it's weird.
And that's really all you want.
And it's also a foreign film, so I mean, if you're trying to get your foreign buzz on, there you go. I'm going to move on to what films, like my kind of top films for the year.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start off with one I only saw very recently. And Slaney, who was in Sodium Party and The O'Briens, told me to add this guy, Travis Stevens, on Facebook, and because he's a producer or whatever. He said, hey, you know, he's a friend of mine. You drop him a message and I'll say, hey, you're big into horrors and stuff like that. And he did Cheap Thrills. So, I was so that was my thing. It's like, oh, cool. I thought that movie was great. Yada, yada, advice.
Right.
And now it turns out every fucking thing that comes out at the moment that is good is by him.
Like what? What else did he do?
So he produced, he's a producer, like I said. He produced Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, which cool!
Which is the documentary about the version of Dune that didn't happen.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't too keen on the documentary itself, but it seems to be like it's going to be Oscar nominated.
Why did that movie not fucking happen?
It would have been insane.
Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, you get Mobius making your fucking costumes for you.
That's I'd say you should see in the documentary, he shows that all the, they have a kind of a bound book of all the artwork, of the concept art and stuff.
Mm.
I'd say that could end up being released as its own thing. Or he's released it as comics.
Sure.
I think Mobius.
Richard Stanley had all the concept art from Dr. Moreau still,
yeah,
and it was amazing.
He also did, and the one I want to talk about, is Starry Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people talked about, and
it
was at Fright Fest, but
it was,
just completely flew under my radar.
Yeah, we weren't too.
And I saw it, and it really just struck me as, wow, this is such a good film. It's kind of, what would you call it? It's quite David Lynch in a way. It's a struggling actress in Hollywood who works at, it's almost like a Hooters kind of restaurant. The manager is Pat Healy from Cheap Thrills.
No, I love him!
He's so good.
He
should be in everything. I love him.
I think he's in fucking everything Travis Stevens does.
Did you see Micah Monroe is in the new one?
Oh yeah, that looks really good. The trailer for that.
I love her. This is it or something. Yester?
In Space Dandy.
Hey. Baba, come on.
Baba dog.
In Space Dandy, there's a restaurant like Hooters called Boobies.
Ha! That's so cute.
But so Starry Eyes, I'll get that out of the way while you do whatever you're doing.
I'm just gonna have to check this.
So again, like, the less you know about it, the better, but essentially she's a struggling actress trying to get her audition. She seems like the kind of girl who came from like Midwest or whatever and is really going like, I'm gonna step off the bus and I'm gonna just find a film to be in.
Yeah, like Heather Graham and
Bowfinger. Except without the sort of manipulative sleeping around side.
I love Bowfinger.
So you see this girl, like, she doesn't really seem like she has what it takes to be an actress, but when she's in an audition, she gets really frustrated and goes wrong, goes into the bathroom and starts like pulling her hair out.
Okay.
And they ask her back in to do that in front of them. Okay. And it just kind of leads into this thing, and like, I'll say it's kind of like a Faustian possible kind of tale. You know, it's just surrounded by, if you're into film, if you're into acting or you're into filmmaking, you'll really get a kick out of, I know neither of you guys would be that kind of side of things, but you'll get a kick out of, you know,
Richard.
The bitchy acting friends. You'll get a kick out of the filmmakers who, you know, say the things to kind of get the hot chicks in their films, that kind of thing. You'll see, like, the disconnect between actors and, you know, their dreams that they're following and real life to pay the bills. It's quite a kind of rough and tumble film in terms of its shooting style, quite low budget, but it works so well for it. That film really caught me off guard, and it's such a good film.
I had the opportunity to watch it. Wicked Horror sent on a link because it was going up online for one day only, and I missed it, and I was so mad. But it and Late Phases, which we also loved, seem to be the two big breakout indie horrors of the year, well, which is fantastic.
Well, let's talk about Late Phases then, because that
fucking
one,
loved it.
We both saw that, and I think we just kind of went to see it kind of more like, oh, there's nothing else at that time.
I talked you into seeing it because I was like, I love Nick D'Amici, and
I still don't know what else he's in.
He's We Are What We Are, and he's in Cold in July as well.
I haven't seen it either.
Well, they're both great, and he's great in both of them, but he, you know, kind of making a name for himself as kind of a background character in horror movies, which is great. But I remember saying to you, you know, there's a lot of werewolf movies this year. I think this could be kind of a dark horse, and it totally was.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember that fucking voicemail and just bawling like a baby.
Mm.
It just, for me, it totally caught me off guard, obviously. It was just a film that got the werewolf thing down so well. Like, the transformation sequence in Wolf Cop, it's brilliant too. But in this, every time you think it's going to cut away, it fucking doesn't. It just gives you everything.
Yeah. Actually, can we
just... so brave.
I'm just going to get out of the way quickly. I saw Wolf Cop and I didn't like it.
What did you not like about it, out of interest?
Well, I thought it felt very cheap. I thought it felt very light on plot, and I...
Yeah.
Oh,
the plot is literally, he's a werewolf cop.
Yeah, I mean, like, it felt like that kind of thing we're talking about. Like, I thought Hobo with a Shotgun was overpacked, whereas this felt underpacked.
Did you find it funny? Did you laugh?
Yeah, there's parts I enjoyed, you know. I didn't think it was laugh out loud or whatever in a way for me, but maybe I didn't see it with a crowd or anything. I saw
it
by myself.
It is definitely, like I said, it was the same with Zombievers. It's definitely a late night, you know, fucking crowd movie. They had the most amazing merchandise. As you know, they were fucking selling the shit out of it. They were selling it in the queue to us when we were buying tickets for Fright Fest. There's only one reason people do that, and it's not because the film is amazing.
Yeah.
I thought he was very good, the lead guy. I thought, did you like Todd in the Book of Pure Evil?
No.
See, I thought it was very like that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I completely understand. I mean, I didn't like it, and like, I was watching it essentially by myself.
I don't think I'd watch it again.
But I think,
see,
a film like that and Zombievers, I don't think watching it, if I picked those up and I watched them by myself, I'd probably hate both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think maybe if I saw it with a crowd of people or a group or whatever, I'd probably enjoy it a lot more.
I fully admit, it and Zombievers, I wouldn't be fucking arse watching either of them again.
Yeah.
But I like them this time.
with Late Phases, I'm on Bloody Disgusting a lot, and I kind of tend to go to the comments of certain things, and I'll I'll say a comment like Late Phases. I really want everyone to see because I love it. I thought it was very it was very brave of it to be focusing on older people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have any young cast in it, and it's on an older blind man in an older people community. I mean, who the fuck would go watch that? It's like the anti. It's kind of the antithesis of what a film is normally made to be, and it just works so well. And It was hard for me not to put it as, like, my number one film of the year or whatever in a lot of ways.
Aside from Digging of the Marrow, like, if we hadn't seen Digging of the Marrow, that definitely would have been number one. Definitely.
So, Late Phases, like, I've been going on kind of trying to push people to kind of go for it, going, like, no, this is a
good
film.
It is gathering traction, though. Like, I actually almost got the Nick D'Amici interview for Wicked Horror because of the fucking time difference, I missed it.
Oh.
But, story of my life. But it's definitely, definitely gaining traction. People are talking about it and Starry Eyes as the two big ones of the year, which is wonderful because... Yeah.
On the flip side, actually, in terms of comments, I also go on and I make sure to comment on
VHS Viral.
Viral. Saying
still,
that's really not good.
Still no word on why that was omitted.
Oh, the last one. Yeah, they're putting onto the Blu-ray that they're releasing in the new year.
Well, nobody fucking wants that. Who
it's
wants
weird.
That?
I sort of said it, and I've had people on the Horrorthon Facebook group agree, but I've also had people say, no, everyone at Fright Fest absolutely loved it. Everyone was cheering. Like, no, everyone... I've never seen people want to actually walk out of a theater.
I don't know about the third screen, but I know we were in the Arrow screen. A mate of ours was in the film for Fright Fest screen.
Yeah.
And nobody in those fucking screens was screaming.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's probably one of the worst.
There was a big, if it weren't for that, though, we wouldn't have got to eat. So,
Reminds me.
Yes, sweetie?
So, you know, I got into all that retro waves of this year.
I didn't know, but in the ABC Seas of Death, there's one...
That movie sucked.
It's one of the last ones. It's Young Buck.
Okay.
It's the one where the kid tears that guy's head off with the stuffed deer head.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The guy's, like, licking the seats. And
yeah, yeah.
You know the way that has a really fucking awesome... It has awesome music in it.
Probably the best thing about it, yeah.
I found out that's Parallel Love. It's a group I listen to quite a bit.
That's cool.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of promise with those ABCs. That's the thing, because there's so many people.
But no. It's almost like too many cooks. It is something as simple as too many fucking cooks.
Yeah, well, that tends to be a lot of...
I know people keep talking about, like, the one where the guy has to masturbate to death and stuff. Oh, it's just... Parts of it are just really fucking rough and not in a good way. And then I think the Soskas are doing the second one. Fucking Soskas.
Well, I think See No Evil 2 seems to have gone kind of pretty bad for people.
Ha ha.
But, I mean, like, Soskas, I can appreciate what they're trying to do.
Did you See No Evil 2?
Yep. And Catherine Isabel's in it.
It was always going to be what it was, though.
I thought she was fucking picky about her roles.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's used to be.
I guess it's just, if the Soskas are involved, sign me up.
Is that WWE money? Yeah.
Well, a few people are like that, though. I mean, like, you know,
paying CM Punk's, though.
If you feel like you can trust the director, why not? I mean, again, I still think American Mary wasn't very good.
I've heard people call that masterpiece.
I went back. I was going to remember for Gore Press recently. We were for their 5,000.
No, 1,000.
1,000 posts.
Yeah.
And you could kind of go and re-review a film. And I was almost tempted to do American Mary, which you'd actually.
I did it for the very first
really
one.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, this is really positive, and because you're quite positive on it. And I remember re-watching it with Ali and Mike, or
I think
Ali and someone.
I think at the time I was trying to be fair.
Yeah.
But you know my problem with American Mary. It's the portrayal of alternative culture, which I really disagree with.
Yeah.
Oh, freaks.
Yeah, I just feel like it kind of loses sight of the characters in the second half an awful lot.
And the men are all assholes? Why are the men all assholes?
Another film this year. Well, okay, we'll get this one because I think we both love
it. I think we kind of agree on everything, so you might as well go ahead.
We've hammed on about this one a lot, is the Lost Souls documentary.
Loved
it. So the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau, which is one of the most insane fucking documentaries.
Peter, you have to see it.
I think you'll really enjoy it.
This fucking movie.
Are we putting you off it? Because you're going to love it.
You guys are always just like...
Richard Stanley is like Peter grown up.
You just go off on these like weird little Richard Stanley things.
I'm sorry.
Like, did you know that Richard Stanley? I'm like, yes. Yes, I do know, actually.
I'm sorry. Can you not imagine Peter going to live in the mountains on his own as an old goth man wearing a hat? Yes, of course
Sounds like
could.
A future Peter.
I don't have a warlock.
Well, there. Now we know what to get you for Christmas. I mean, Christmas has happened.
Where's my warlock? Yeah, well, we loved it. I think of all the documentaries I saw this year, and I did watch quite a few, I'm proud.
Yeah.
It was my favorite, definitely.
Yeah. Of all those things, I mean, I compare it to things like the Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're both very good, but this is a different kind of one. This is just general. It's not a behind-the-scenes making of in a way. This is more just this insane filmmaking excursion that anyone can enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Just looking at my Twitter, I have a friend, she makes everyone watch Twin Peaks.
Okay.
But, so her friend that she made watch Twin Peaks this weekend made her watch Eden Lake.
I love Eden Lake!
She's so like, oh!
That ending still gets me. Oh my god, it's so scary.
I absolutely love Eden Lake.
Love it!
I don't know if they pulled it from TV3, it was supposed to be on it. But I remember the promos department having an issue with cutting out a promo for it.
I loved it. What else did we love? The Guest.
Okay, The Guest. Well, I mean, I wasn't too keen on it, as you know, but...
The Guest!
It was good. I mean, it was certainly watchable. It was like a good John Carpenter film that John Carpenter didn't make.
That's what I said. You just plagiarized me.
Are you sure it wasn't the other way around? Are you sure I didn't say it and you plagiarized me and now I'm plagiarizing you? Fuck you, Joey!
You plagiarized the words right out of my mouth like Ollie always does. Plagiarizes our conversations from Fright Fest.
Did someone say John Carpenter?
Yeah.
I have John Carpenter news.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm just going to interject during this whole podcast because I didn't watch any horror this year.
I think you did. You just watched old horror. You didn't watch. You wouldn't watch The Guest, even though I think you're really going to like it. Do you think he'd like The Guest?
You might do.
I think you'll like it.
The soundtrack.
The soundtrack's great, and Dan Stevens is fucking nuts. Every time I see the Night at the Museum poster, I always look at Dan Stevens, and he's always like,
Shut.
Ghastly.
I'm trying to talk about fucking John Carpenter, man.
Do ghastly.
No.
I won't let you talk until you do ghastly.
You're doing ghastly right now with that fucking ghastly face.
Hey.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Put on some fucking makeup.
No, I'm in my house.
You're fucking stuck on. Yeah, so, John Carpenter. Well, what would you say John Carpenter is quite fond of?
His score for Halloween, which is perfection.
I know where you're going with this. He's known for his horror films and his soundtracking of his horror films.
Yeah, his score for Halloween.
I was actually going to say his love of video games.
Okay.
Jesus, he's fucking in everything, is he?
Fucking...
So yeah, we'll go on.
I want to be John Carpenter when I grow up, basically.
No, you're Richard Stanley, we've decided, remember?
Yeah, you're Richard Stanley. Richard Stanley.
Yeah, he's got an album coming out in February.
I can't wait. That sounds so cool.
It's called Lost Themes.
Oh, wow.
I was telling you about this the other day. Yeah. Why are you like, oh, wow?
She's because just putting it on for the
I'm
show.
I'm acting for the podcast.
I'm really badly
at Joey myself. Actually knows about this. Yeah, he's got an album coming out in February. It's his first, it's his debut.
So cool.
It's just music from him.
I love John Carpenter.
There's one track out. It's well, really not out. Good. It's just up on YouTube from the label. Mm-hmm. They put it out. It's good.
I can't wait for listen. That. There's going to be cool. A deluxe edition as well with remixes. I'm not too keen on remixes ever really.
Me neither.
Still, John Carpenter. That's going to be really crazy. It's like when David Lynch did an album, except it's probably going to be more
like
what you want.
Remixes of instrumental David Lynch. Stuff is like, why am I? What this is just a
yeah. What's
song.
The fucking point? Yeah. Well, The Guest was definitely my favorite soundtrack of the whole year.
I probably can't disagree with that. It was a great soundtrack.
And I think, judging by the horror of this year and kind of the... Because mainstream horror, or at least what was released, was kind of crap. Yeah. And I saw... I mean, I see kind of every horror movie in the cinema, usually to review them, sadly. As Ross said, Perks of the Jobs.
Oh, yeah. I know what my favorite one was this year.
Yeah, go on.
Godzilla!
Godzilla!
Hey!
I forgot about Godzilla.
Godzilla was great. I rewatched
it. I
loved
it. This movie came out this year, and here I am playing with a fucking Godzilla toy. That was a great movie.
Well, we all went to see that together. I think it's definitely a group film, much like Guardians of the Galaxy,
did
which
we
is.
Did we all see it together?
No, we saw it with Gavin and his little friends.
All right.
Because Gavin has two
I
friends.
I saw it in the IMAX. It was so fun.
Well, I mean, Godzilla, I really love Godzilla. I know people are kind of sniffy about it. I'm not. I thought it was like an old school Godzilla film. I thought he did a really good job with it.
Fantastic.
I thought, like, he came out like Undertaker for like his last match and then he went back in again.
I like how the film didn't feel like it had to be showing Godzilla nonstop.
Totally agree with you.
I thought that really helped it because, I mean, I know what Godzilla is, I know what he looks like, but there's something nice about a build up to something as opposed to. Oh yes, you know what this is from all our marketing material, so monster.
But I feel like I feel like people are going to be pissed off either way. If there was a lot of Godzilla, too much Godzilla, Godzilla looks like shit.
There are still some great like full like panning shots.
Oh, totally.
But even the foot, like the foot at the airport was fucking brilliant.
You know what, I think I told you this. I fell asleep during that in the IMAX because I was wrecked for whatever reason. And someone told me, oh, you just missed a little bit. You just missed him, like, whatever, Hawaii. And apparently,
it's
quite a quick bit.
Favorite shot in the entire
I rewatched
me too.
When I was watching, I got it on Blu-ray. I was watching it. I missed, like, fucking 20 minutes. What? Where did this entire sex scene go?
I fell asleep during 2001 and woke up when the computer was turning on him. And I was like, oh, cool, I haven't missed the good bit. This child next to me was like, what's going on, Daddy? What's going on?
You saw The Shining this year, too, didn't you?
Did we see The Shining in
Yes, because we were going
to
see the director's
cut. It was supposed to be the US cut and it wasn't. I've seen The Shining a lot of times this year.
That's still the most bizarre fucking room for a screening ever because the place, the seats kind of curve around. It's like half an oval and the screen is in the middle. So if you're not in the center, you're too far to the side. It was
absolutely.
So awkward.
Me and someone I used to be friends with, we used to go to Horrorthon every year before I started going to Fest. Before I realized the Horrorthon is shit. No offense. And
they were so into Jessica Cameron this year.
Yeah, they were. Because, whatever, it's money. Anyway, it's publicity, but... Mm. And she is good at publicity, fair play to her. Yeah, put them away. Anyway, me and someone I used to be friends with went to see an Irish movie in there in that very screen during Horrorthon, and I remember thinking that at the time. Now, the movie was shit, so I was distracted anyway. But it was like, this is a fucking weird screening room. Because you go to the Lighthouse, I mean, I love the IFI, but the screening rooms are weird. Even the one we saw... Because we saw Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
In there.
That's a very bizarre room because it is just a big empty room.
It's just a big room.
It doesn't really have a slant. Well, it has a tiny slant on the
ground. But if you go to the Lighthouse, I mean, obviously we saw 2001 The Lighthouse. I saw Life itself in The Lighthouse. I kind of try to go as much as I can just to support it. It's such a beautiful cinema and it's such a difference. And you would think of the IFI before you think of The Lighthouse. Why have they not fucking redone that place?
Yeah. I mean, like, The Lighthouse is taking a lot of business away from them, I would say.
Thank God. Rightly so.
There's an Irish film actually that was at Fright Fest that I remember I was talking to the composer of. I felt so bad. I don't know how.
The Canal.
I'm so bad at putting my fucking mouth in my foot in my mouth. Or mouth in my foot.
The Canal wasn't particularly good. I saw that and I saw.
Should I call it Chichon?
Chicken Al. I saw the other one. Checkers. What was it that was shit? Fuck, Irish Curry. I saw that this year too because I had to review and it was
That's
crap.
What it's called.
Irish Curry.
Irish Curry.
I'm Colleen Donna.
Can love really bloom in Dublin City? Let me.
The answer is no.
Well, I would tell you that my flower was opening.
I will say this though, the majority of stuff I saw at Fright Fest I loved. With the exception of the ones we've already discussed, which we didn't like.
I need time to prepare my Dunkerque Bradshaw funds.
In the new year, you have plenty of time.
That should be the title of your autobiography. I need time to prepare my dumb Carrie Bradshaw buns.
Well, I'm going to get a different one out of the way before we talk about the big one from Fright Fest. But
yeah, go on.
I want to talk about The Sacrament briefly, because I really
love The Sacrament.
And it's on Netflix at the moment. I showed it to Ali the other day, and she actually really got into it as well.
A lot of people are very not that into it.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I can see it's a little bit of a very linear story, and if you know the story of Jonestown, you know where it's going, because it's essentially a fictional version of that. But it's just so
I don't think that's fair. Why? When you do a fictional retelling.
I suppose we're going to be serious for a second.
It's Peter.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way. I mean, like, you know, if it's a fictional retelling of some, it can be inspired by true events, you know? I mean, yeah, get your head out of your ass.
Michael
otherwise.
Pitt was Kurt Cobain as well, I just remembered. He was
but
Kurt
no, he
Cobain.
Wasn't really Kurt Cobain, though.
That's in another fictionalized retelling.
Yeah.
Where he was
but I mean, like,
gay.
It is
wink.
Not.
What?
In, yeah, the in Gus Van Zandt's The Last Days. Ben, I
Which
said
is
I'm
really
busy.
Boring.
It's shit.
What?
Ben, I said I'm busy.
The last days.
You're a true artist, Gus.
Are they vampires?
No, but we saw a movie called The Last Days that was excellent.
Did we?
Yeah, the Spanish one.
Was that a vampire movie?
Remember? No, it was about that people got fear of closed spaces, of open spaces.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
It was really good.
That was fantastic.
But yes, The
that
Sacrament
didn't have any sort of release at all, did it?
It didn't, it was sad. Wow. Great film. Very, very strong performances. The kind of like weird bromance was very well done because it was a guy and his mean boss who just fired him, but they had to kind of band together because obviously the world was ending. But I really, really enjoyed The Sacrament. I reviewed it. I really like Ty West in general.
Yeah. It's weird. His next film is going to be something big that has... Oh, fuck. I remember one of the guys. I can't remember who the other one is. One of the guys in it is John Travolta.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I can't remember. It's a Western. If you put Ty West in, you'll find it quick enough. But, like...
Very John Travolta in genre stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, I didn't really think about the fact he's not...
A big
exclusively
director.
A horror person, you know? I mean...
He's not a big director either. He's still not a big director.
No, well, that's... Apparently, it's probably going to be very low budget, but...
Oh, wow. That's cool. He looks stupid. In a Valley of Violence.
That could be it. He had an interview on Killer POV, which, as you might have noticed, I've started listening to a lot.
Yeah, I like it. I don't get to listen to it that often, but...
Oh, man, now I'm just remembering his fucking ABCs of Death segment. That was fucking
shit. Karen Gillan, Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, that's who it was.
And Thaisa Farmiga, who I really like. She was in American Horror Story.
But,
Vera Farmiga.
No, that's her sister.
America Ferrera?
Okay. No, I don't like her at all. Yes. I know people were really sniffy about The Sacrament. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was creepy. I thought it was good. I thought for found footage, there was one moment I really loved, which was when someone was running away and threw the fucking camera down. And I thought, fair play, because you don't see that enough.
Yeah.
And it's really obvious and it annoys everyone when you do it. Yeah. So just fucking throw it down. He picks it up later, which is kind of improbable, but who cares?
No, I think depending on if you feel like you can or not, if you can get away with doing that. Mm. I mean, because that's his career as... I like that it's presented as a finished film. Like, it's not...
It's documentary.
It's not found footage in a lot of ways. It is a documentary, and that makes all the difference. You know, because I kind of went into it going like, okay, well, they're probably going to have died, and the army are going to have taken the footage or whatever, and it's going to have been put together. It's like, you know, maybe some villager or whatever found it and decided everyone in the world should know. Mm-hmm. But no, instead, it's a lot more... It's a very ridiculously linear film, but it's an engaging film to watch, and... I like films like that they don't have to be insane or doing things you don't expect to shock you. Instead, they go the opposite way where it's like, you know, okay, well, you probably know what's going to happen, but so here's the journey. Enjoy the journey.
And The Preacher was excellent.
Yeah.
And the death scenes were excellent and horrifying. Similar to that, The Green Inferno, which is a similar film. Honorable mention, because you know I cannot fucking stand Eli Roth. Everyone kind of knows that at this stage. Yes. But
it
I...
The Green Inferno.
I have to say,
sorry,
I really...
it sounds very superhero-y.
It kind of does a little bit, but it was very good.
Like
I think
the Green
Hornet. I think as Eli Roth films go, I liked it better than most of his stuff.
Mm.
I thought the final girl was really irritating, I must say, but I liked it. I thought there were moments of it when it was genuinely horrifying, and I thought, yeah. Oh, I really don't want to. It kind of like you want to look away, but you can't. The ending let it down.
Yeah. I think Green Inferno kind of falls in line with things like Tusk that aren't amazing films, but they're ones you can watch and enjoy, probably
and with also, a group. They're brave as well. Yeah. The reason we are giving them more credit than they're probably due is because they try to do something different. It's not the fucking Babadook.
Yeah.
Oh, the creepy.
Could you imagine if they made a horror movie where someone who's basically Batman, like a vigilante, finally just like completely cracks?
Like the vigilante Sting?
Well, Super kind of does that, doesn't it?
I like
Super.
I haven't seen Super in years. I really like it though.
I love Super.
I really like James Gunn. Good man.
Guardians of the Galaxy was a great film.
The most expensive trauma film ever made. What? That's such a good way of describing it.
It really is. I still think Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wearing enough tits in it for a trauma movie.
Oh yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy has an awful lot in common with Star Wars. It gave me that kind of feeling as I got when I was watching the first Star Wars. I think. In terms of like, I don't think it's as good as Star Wars, but I think it's kind of such an enjoyable adventure.
I think it will probably get there.
But think about it. Like,
do we have any?
You haven't done anything wrong. But Batman's just still after you.
Is Batman Andy Biersack?
No, fuck Andy Biersack.
Be right back. Getting more Batman tattoos.
He's a tiny wilting prince.
Actually, he's getting kind of buff now, a bit like Ollie Sykes. Ollie Sykes. I only heard this week. Ollie Sykes pissed on a girl who rejected him and then wrote a song about it.
Okay.
It was called. Something like, I've heard about girls like you on the tour bus or something.
Wow. So.
It was a while ago when he was a druggie.
All those emo lead front men, really, really, really nice people who don't piss or rape on people or rape babies.
Well,
he seems like
that was this year as well, actually.
No, not at all. He really cleaned up his act because he went to rehab. But do we have any more honorable mentions before we get to what is clearly our combined film of the year, our shared favorite?
Two I'll quickly get out of the way because we have talked about them both. Exists is one of them, the Bigfoot film.
Which I loved.
Which I rewatched. It's not quite as fun, as good as it was in the cinema rewatching, but it's still enjoyable. It's by Eduardo Sanchez, who did Blair Witch.
These
two brothers who bring their friends up to this cabin that belongs to their uncle who doesn't go up there anymore. And it turns out the reason he doesn't go up there is because there's fucking Bigfoot. And the film, it's the most.
Legend of Boggy Creek 3.
Yeah. It's such an aggressive Bigfoot film, though. And it is. It's so fun for that reason.
And for found footage, it's really quite a roller coaster, too.
Yeah, that's it's certainly done for fun as opposed to.
And the bit when he's on the bike and Bigfoot's chasing him, some of it's shot really well. Bigfoot's a dude in a costume, which I love.
Yeah.
I think definitely watch this double bill with Willow Creek, definitely.
Yeah, but probably watch Willow Creek first.
That reminds me, there's like this viral video going around of a guy with a GoPro on that gets chased by a bear.
Okay.
And I don't understand how people are falling for it.
Is it really rubbish?
It's terrible. It's a stock. It's a 3D stock of the bear running at him.
Yeah.
But I guess it's fooling people because he keeps cutting. Mm. Or not cutting, but like just looking behind him like, real quick.
And
like
is that. He like, ooh?
It's, you know, okay. You know when something is running through like a chroma keyed shot?
Yeah.
And it doesn't exactly match up to the speed in the background.
Yeah.
Like, the legs are moving too slowly for it to be running at that speed.
So you guys notice these things way more than I do.
Well, I'm an animator.
It just feels wrong.
Though. Well, you're a filmmaker. You're an animator, so.
It's like the bear is running slightly too slow for the background. And also is a consistent size, whereas while you're moving away from something, it...
Mm.
So it doesn't quite match up, and it's also fucking CG.
Ha! That could give it away.
I've seen it. It's one of those things where, like, you know when you're on Tumblr and you see something reblogged, like, 10 fucking times in the one day, and you're like, this isn't real. Why do any of you think this is real?
Well, that's a nice segue into the other film that you're going to talk about.
Well, just talking about Bigfoot chasing someone on a bike.
Yeah, but the other film, I presume, is The Den.
Oh, well, it wasn't going to be, but yeah, that was a great film.
Well, The Den deals with what is real on the internet, what is not real. It's this whole idea of she sees somebody being murdered, she's not sure if it's real. Mm. And I thought it was, as found footage goes, it wasn't like, you know, it was very, very clever. Mm. I was really freaked out by it. I was genuinely scared. Mm. And I thought it kind of had, it was a nice...
I didn't know that was found footage.
Well, no, it's like a computer screen, so you're seeing it from someone's webcam.
Yeah, but it's technically...
No, it's done very well. It's done a lot better than you expect.
Very well.
And it doesn't have this weird, annoying thing of like, oh, why would they have your camera there? Because you don't see all the parts, and the parts you do see, it's like someone's turning on the computer.
It's very much working off...
For a whole movie?
It works really well.
It's super creepy and it's very, very, I don't know, it's kind of invasive as well. You're kind of like, oh my god, should I be watching this?
It actually feels quite dark and very, it feels like a hard one to rewatch, actually. I wouldn't be inclined
to watch it on my own. I remember when one of the Fright Fest guys was introducing it, he said he'd watched it on his own on his laptop and he got quite freaked out. You can understand why. If you're watching on your laptop,
you're seeing the laptop screen on your laptop.
Sorry, what was your honorable mention?
My honorable mention was going to be Oculus, which...
That's one of my worst.
I don't think it was the worst. I mean, I'm the more I've watched it, the like I've kind of fallen back from it. Nope. There's still parts of it I absolutely love. I love the monologue when she's talking to the camera, sort of setting up to what it has, the people like Mira has killed before. There's kind of a 15-20 minute section of that film I think is great. If the entire film had been able to live up to that premise,
my problem with Oculus, I actually did a feature for Wicked Horror on this, is trailers that overshare the scares. Oculus was one of those trailers. It shows the best scare in the entire film, which is when she eats the apple and it turns out to be a light bulb and her mouth fills with blood and it's gross. If that wasn't Karen Gillan, we would not be talking about this film because you would not give a shit. She is so good. She is so believable. Her brother's pretty good too, because obviously he represents kind of the skeptic, which obviously you always need to kind of ground it in reality. My problem with it was the representation of the ghosts. The ghosts looked so shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought it totally pulled me out of it. I know the woman in black, you know, she's in the background.
Yeah, but that's different because, I mean, that's quite gothic horror.
This is the thing.
Whereas this would have done better without that.
That's exactly it. If we just never saw that at all and it was just this fucking mirror and we didn't know what was going on, it would have been near perfect.
Well, that's, I mean, I think the best part of that film is when, you know, he thinks he's on the phone outside, but it turns out he's just standing in, like, the hallway or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the stuff that's great. That's the psychological side as opposed to the messing, scary ghost walking around. Like,
the messing with reality. And I feel like, unfortunately, it's a symptom of modern horror where they think, again, like I said about Black Xmas, they think that that's not enough. That being psychological is not enough. That you have to see certain things. That it has to be spooky ghosts. Like, even The Pact. The whole twist with The Pact was that it was actually a real person and a murderer.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really work, but... It could have worked if the paranormal stuff wasn't part of it.
Yeah, but it is. I hate that so much. Wait, so the ghost is warning the people against this guy? Why doesn't it just do something about the guy?
Why doesn't the ghost just shove them out?
We can see the ghost control people around. Like,
but it turns out the maniac flashing the lights is just trying to warn her and that the real killer was in her back seat.
Yeah, like urban legend.
Do you want to know how I know? It was
Well, I mean...
All right.
But that's my problem with it anyway, is the effects. And I feel like it was the same problem with Mama, where it was like, once you actually saw Mama, it was like, oh, that's shit.
Pretty. Shame, because that film would be great fun otherwise.
Mm.
So are we going to see... Peter, can you guess what our top film of the year is?
Oh, something lame.
It was not lame.
Fucking lame fucking movie that you guys always not shut up about.
It was perfection.
You guys didn't shut up about this Richard Nixon Stanley... Shit.
I had to ask a warlock.
Oh, I know what it's going to be, you fucking fanboys. Mr. Green, we love you. We love you. Oh, yes, your semen tastes excellent.
That's right. It is Digging Up the Marrow by Adam Green.
For the record, Richard is the one sucking his dick, not me.
She's just watching.
I just watch and film it. And then we make it into a movie and we make...
I think this film's going to do well. I'm hoping this film will do well enough when it comes out in the new year. I think it's coming out in March.
I had people messaging me after they read my review saying they couldn't fucking wait to see it. They were like, this sounds amazing. He actually shared my review on Facebook and I didn't notice it until Richard pointed it out. clearly has no idea who I am because I have a boy name and is like, who's this? But
not a boy picture.
Mr. Adam Green.
That's true. I hope he didn't scroll down and see my fucking lame ass picture.
Your bum smells really nice while I lick it.
Adam Green does smell really good, for the record.
Like, it's actually ridiculously funny. It's probably the big part of it.
I could smell him from where I was standing. I was like, I was freezing my ass off and I wanted to be like, can I have your hoodie, please? Sure. But I couldn't because Richard was too busy being like, so what are you doing later? Are you going to be in your room?
I still have my fucking picture framed.
Me too. Why are you
making fun of him for that when you were... I know you. You were like...
I was not. Anyway.
I've seen you get all flustered about seeing famous people.
I did not get flustered. I actually, when we spotted him, I was the one being like, yo, it's you. What's going on? That was
really bizarre. We're just like walking by. And then Richard, I was hoping he wasn't going to be outside when we were walking back out in shame with our cases.
Being like, we have to go to the lame one. That won't happen next year. when he probably won't be there. Yeah. But I have to say, I was nervous to see Digging Up Mara because, you know, we kind of have a relationship with him now, and I thought, like, if I had to... I knew he was going to be... You know what I mean, though? We know...
In a relationship.
We're in, like, a three-way. No. But I thought, like, I knew he was going to be waiting around outside afterwards, yeah. And I didn't want to kind of look and be like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Because we had been so positive about everything else.
It was great. It was so enjoyable. I mean, the most awkward thing for me was knowing that, I mean, he must be driven crazy by how bad the sound was. Because the sound... Yeah. It really didn't bring it up on the podcast, on the Movie Crit podcast. Because it for someone I know, for filmmakers, game that is a horrible thing, is when your sound goes bad or goes wrong. And it was going... It was popping. It was going too loud and then too low. And, but, I mean, the film itself... Like, again, the film itself played so well to the crowd. It's a slow burner. Like Godzilla, in a way.
It was definitely a sold out fanboy crowd, yeah. But I think that was great. I unearthed an interview I did, my very first interview I did with Adam Green, and I published it on Wicked Horror, and I mentioned the crowd reaction to Digging Up Mara and the fact that, you know, he is so well liked at Fright Fest, but I suppose that would actually put extra pressure on him. I remember when he was talking about premiering Hatchet 3 and premiering Halston and stuff, and he was like, people know me, they're probably going to think it's really weird when they see me up on screen, and they, you know, they're like, shit, this is really your life, and it's awkward. I'm sure he felt, whereas it was easier for us because we're like, you know, we know what to expect, whatever, at least we thought we knew what to expect.
5 o'clock, by the way.
But,
yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
But I think it was probably harder for him because if it had bombed, you would have known.
Yeah.
And there would have been no escaping it.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it didn't, and I mean, it was one of the ones that, it was good that he had it in the smaller screen because it was a bigger crowd. A bigger crowd meant that, you know, they laugh more. When the scary bits happened, they were more scary. I mean, I don't think watching that on VOD or whatever, I'm going to be quite as jumpy. But I think it was a great fun film. I can't wait to watch it again. I'm hoping I can show it to some people.
Me too.
I mean, it's a weird one to put, like I said, I think my 5 films of the year, and I mean, this is going to probably have been up on GorePress by the time we talk about this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty interchangeable. I think these, for me, were the best 5 films. I don't think they're the best films of the year, in a way. I mean, I think Gone Girl and Interstellar were great films.
I think Gone Girl is technically horror, too, though.
I don't know.
I would argue it would be.
But
Nightcrawler.
I mean, it was a rough year for horror in a lot of ways. I mean, there was enough to kind of get you through it, but it wasn't exactly what you call a good year for horror.
But even
there was
Halloween.
A lot of shitty blockbuster ones. I mean, like, fucking Deliver Us From Evil was awful.
But I mean, like, even around Halloween, we had Babadook, which I fucking hated. Ouija, which was shite. I can't remember what the other one was. Ouija.
Ouija.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Ouija for this film.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it's Ouija.
I know it's Ouija. Will they say Ouija?
So, what do you guys think? How's your guys...
board. Did you ever... When I was a kid, we called them Luigi boards.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, Richard?
So, how's your guys' New Year shaping up?
Film-wise?
Well, I'm going to kill myself.
All right.
Okay. I'm excited for The Theory of Everything. I'm excited for, obviously, Woman in Black 2. I just saw St. Vincent, which I really liked. I just saw Men, Women, and Children, which was kind of, like, melodramatic and kind of uncomfortable. But I don't know. I think it's been a good year for films in general. I've definitely seen a lot of films that I've loved. You're right about it being a shitty year for horror. I think if we hadn't gone to Fright Fest, like, I don't know what the fuck I would have picked.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, coming into this year, I mean, 2013, like, I mean, I knew Lords of Salem was going to be there. There was a lot of films I'd go, and I think Sinister was that year as well.
But we even saw, like, Texas Chainsaw 3D and had a great time.
Yeah.
That was the first film we saw of 2013, and it was great.
This year has been a little bit rougher going. I haven't really been to the cinema, apart from Fright Fest, to see a lot of horror films in a lot of ways. And, I mean, there hasn't been really many that have gone to the screens. I mean, I'm glad there's some ones I didn't see as well. I mean, next year there should be a Paranormal Activity film, which I know people make that face you're making about it. But I think... I've got a nice enough love for the series. I think if they go the right way, they can pull it back. If they have something that's a bit more fun, like 3 was. Or the Marked Ones was quite fun.
Personally, I'm waiting for Paranorman Activity.
I love Paranorman. That was great.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell what's coming in the new year. I know that Mike Flanagan, who did Oculus, has a new one coming. I saw the trailer for that one we said earlier that looked great.
Can't remember what it's called. This Is It or something?
This Is It, whatever it is. Bloody Disgusting been pushing it, which makes me worry a little bit.
That's what I was thinking too.
But like, the trailer for it actually looks good, because it sort of seems to imply that a girl goes out on a date with a guy, and then he kind of passes on some sort of demon or ghost or curse,
which is
to her,
interesting,
which is always something I'm always very keen on. I like people who get something they don't really deserve.
Plus it's got Micah Monroe from The Guest, who I really love.
Yeah. I mean, New Year film wise, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, there's going to be Sinister 2.
It's called It Follows.
Kieran Foy will be doing Sinister 2. I'd say we'll probably have, again, the usual spate of sequels. And so Friday the 13th, who knows if that'll happen. Probably not in time for the year, but...
Yeah, I think This Is It was like a football movie or something.
Or the Michael Jackson film.
It might have been a Michael Jackson movie, yeah. Not Captain EF, the other one.
But yeah, it's... I don't know. It's been a weird year, and it seems like it's...
Encino Man, so...
It's even harder to distribute horror now, which is kind of sad. But then I think when I see the horror that makes it, I'm like, this is fucking rubbish.
But I mean, I think VOD is a good place for films.
Totally agree.
And, I can get behind it. I'm just hoping everyone can, good horror has kind of migrated from cinemas to VOD, which is a shame in a lot of ways.
Hey guys.
But horror fans were always kind of, you know, at the bottom of the barrel.
Guys, I like some VMID. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Put some beer on my D, baby. Next time I'm in a pub, I gotta try that. So, baby, you got your beer on my D. Bet you wish you were SMD right now.
Oh, God. Remember that?
That's a thing that happened.
It is
in real life.
There's a band, I won't name the band, but they recently broke up this year, so whoa. But one of them,
Bon Jovi.
The least attractive one hit on my married friend, and messaged her and said, "Bet you wish you were essing my D right now," because apparently saying sucking my dick would be too rude.
Yes, he typed it like essing though.
Yeah, s-ing my D. So if you want a dirty talk,
sing your. You want me to sing your ding?
Hello.
Put your V on my D, baby.
Well, I mean...
Put your M on my D.
I've run out of words for the year.
Put your B on my D.
Me too. What number of podcast is this, you guys? We did it. Well,
Put my D between your T's.
We still have to depend if we want to count the Lost Podcast.
Lost Podcast. R.I.P.
You're one of us, Michael. Well, no one asked me what I was fucking looking forward to.
Yeah,
what are you looking forward to?
You dumb fucks.
What are you looking forward to? And then you got to wrap us up. Ooh! Like the gift Richard got us. Thanks, Richard.
Which you unwrap.
There's that album I'm looking forward to, you know?
Yeah, John Carpenter.
I have that, I think, Evangelion 4.4 or 4.0. Mm-hmm. It's called something else. But the rebuild of Evangelions was like, they redid the entire series as a series of movies, and then they, about at the halfway point of the series, it just veered off in a completely different direction, which has made this very, very interesting. They take approximately 1 million years to make because they're animated. Animated beautifully, but...
Still, take a long time.
The English version of the last movie still hasn't come out.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's sometime this year. The new Metal Gear Solid is out this year.
Great.
2015 is one of those years where I'm like, all these things I've been waiting for so long to come out for.
And now they all come out once and you won't have time to play them
I will have
Jurassic
time.
World.
I will have time to watch... fucking the new Eva and play the new Metal Gear Solid, but it's one of those things where I'm like, man, if I get like run over before any of that happens, you know, that kind of way.
You're excited for Birdman, that'll be good.
Yeah. No, I'm interested in Birdman. These are things I'm actually like
properly. What about Jurassic World? Are you excited for that? No, I'm super excited.
I watched all three Jurassic Park films yesterday. Although what's the first one last?
I'm not excited for it. I'm just curious to see what it'll be.
He got me the trilogy. For Christmas last year, was it? Yeah.
I also got you the Jurassic Park patch.
Oh, yeah. Park Ranger.
I got her an Iron Man patch.
But yeah, I'm excited for Jurassic World. I think that'll be good. That's my big movie event of next year will be Jurassic World.
So far, that's
Star Wars is out next year?
Yeah, that'll be good.
I'm kind of...
When's Batman and Superman? Is that next year or is that the following year?
Oh, I could
Jesus, don't know.
I know. I'm worried that that's going to be really awful. When I found out Wonder Woman and all these other people were in it. I don't mind Ben Affleck, but like...
Batfleck.
I mean, it's going to be the same problem as fucking Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. Is there's going to be too much in it.
You just hate those movies.
I called it Amazing Spider-Man fucking bombed itself.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there was at one point they were thinking of wrapping it up into a JLA movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
I think they should have done it like the Marvel way where they're like, here's the origin movie, here's them all in the group. Now you know everyone, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. Like it's ham-fistedly trying to create a big cinematic
mythos.
Universe.
Yeah.
There's probably Marvel films next year. Oh, fucking Avengers. I'm looking forward to the second one of those. But I mean, there's nothing that's making me go, oh, I can't wait. I'm happy enough to wait for anything at the moment.
I can't wait for Foxcatcher. I'm really excited for Foxcatcher. I'm excited to see Wild. I'm excited to see Whiplash again because I fucking love Whiplash. That's another not quite horror film.
Yeah.
There's like three.
And I think Foxcatcher will be too, to be honest.
Until the next Guardians of the Galaxy.
See, the thing is with horror now, actually, it's bleeding into more mainstream stuff, and because they're kind of, which is cool. I like that. Like Gone Girl, I feel like had a lot of horror elements. Yeah. Nightcrawler definitely did. Yeah. Like Chris Alexander had that in his top of the year as a horror movie. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of bleeding into the mainstream, which is cool, but it's become kind of a niche thing as a result.
Yeah.
So you think 2015 is looking good?
I think it's looking good for movies in general. Do I think it's looking good for horror? No. Yeah. I don't.
Do you remember 2013 where we just kind of ran out of movies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, you know, the idea of kind of Woman in Black 2 being released on New Year's Day is a good sign because it's starting the year off properly. And I think it'll be good. I'll be very surprised if it's not because Woman in Black was quite good.
We took like a 3 months hiatus.
Yeah, because there was nothing. Because
there's nothing.
There was nothing.
Yes, that's why.
That worked. But no, it really was. Like, no one went to see any new movies.
There was nothing.
Yeah, we came back. There was nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of indie things that we don't know that are under our radar that's going to come out.
And there's Fright Fest next year, and they always have a good schedule for Fright Fest. This year was incredibly well-packed. Yeah. Definitely.
Shockingly. I wonder if where it's going to be next year. And, like, I mean, there's probably, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of games that are going to be very promising in the new year.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try pretend like I know what ones, but.
What are the big ones for next year? GTA 5's coming out on PC. I'll look forward to that.
Richard's putting on a scarf as we speak. It's like The Apprentice.
There's Metal Gear Solid 5. That's probably.
I think Alan Sugar made the wrong choice.
That's the biggest one. There's a new Zelda out next year.
Very good.
Which is huge as well.
So the guy who came to replace Sarah, our router, was a Zelda fan. He was all like Zelda poster.
Yeah, I have a big Hyrule Warriors poster over there.
That I
like,
did not.
Oh, are you a Zelda man, are you?
Where's our Slipknot poster?
It was over there. It replaced the.
Has it fallen down?
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas poster.
Yeah,
which
fuck
is, like,
that
torn
shit.
To shreds from falling off the wall so much.
All right, well, guys, that has been a very good year.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, 2014, the craziest year of my life.
Yeah, dude, it's been a fucking...
I had a really crazy fucking year.
It's been a rough year in a lot of ways, but it's been a good year for movies, and movies are always an escape.
I paid my rent with art money.
Yeah, he sure did.
That's
which awesome. Is amazing, right?
It's like...
Fuck, actually, oh, no, it's going to be too late to get one. I mean, guys, is it? I keep wanting to get the Sprite art, though.
Yo, pay me, motherfucker!
I have money in my wallet. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second.
Like, yeah, it would have been nice if I didn't have to pay rent with art money, but
wait,
yeah.
From Sean Cunningham and the Friday the 13th team... Oh, I thought that said Friday the 13th film. I was like, from the Friday the 13th film. I was like, what?
We're doing such a good outro.
Sorry. Thank you so much for listening. All of our social media, we've got Twitter as @HorrorLives, or you can follow us individually @JoeyLDG for Living Dead Girl. Richard is Rich M. Waters.
Yeah.
M for Miriam.
Rich M. Stanley.
Peter is Shoehead, spelled
S-H-E-W-H-E-D-D,
or his art page, which is Shoehead, S-H-O-E-H-E-A-D underscore art.
Yeah.
Right? Facebook.com/HorrorLives.
Or HorrorLives, if you might.
Or, yeah, people think it's HorrorLives for some reason, or HorrorLives.tumblr.com.
Gotta wonder if there's someone out there who wants, like, is trying to find really shitty stories of humanity and keep coming across us.
Probably. Or you can email us at horrorlives@gmail.com and tell us how shit we are.
Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses 2 was not a good film. Horrible Bosses
Wait,
was also not
whoa,
a good film.
Whoa. Okay. Stop the podcast. Hang on. There's a Horrible Bosses 2?
Yeah, it just came out.
When did that happen?
It just came out.
I didn't hear anything.
Mark Kermode said that Jennifer Aniston, it was a really, really horrible role for her. He was like, this is humiliating. Why did you do this? I thought that was something.
She actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't believe it. Looking
she was
at her.
Sick of playing like...
Yeah, but looking at her, you wouldn't believe it. It's way over the top.
Thank
you for listening!
We never even talked about the Sony shit. But whatever.
Oh, we'll talk about that in the new year when we see more. If North Korea did it and what happens and the world's been blown up anyway.
They
oh,
said they
mean
definitely...
Now.
Don't
they,
go to your cinemas!
Now in
they
the
said
new
they
year.
Definitely did do it.
Yeah. Well,
according to the CIA.
Well, CIA said that, but they're saying they definitely didn't. But there will be consequences if they're not allowed part of the investigations.
Canada are going to show it. Did you see that? Canada were like, fuck you, we're showing it.
The CIA also said, like, they didn't torture all those guys.
Yeah. On that happy note, Seth Rogen, James Franco, get in touch. We know you're listening.
Yeah.
We will show your movie in our living room where
Don't
we
worry,
record
guys.
Our
we'll
podcast.
Play the audio.
Don't worry,
where
guys.
We record our podcast.
We're still well on track for Pineapple Express 2.
That Kim Jong-un death scene, spoiler, was not gory enough for me. I will say the effects were shit. So if that's why you cut it, fuck you all.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
He dies? Did you just spoil the end of the interview?
I sure did. You're not going to see it anyway.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You just spoiled it. Okay.
I'm secretly North Korean.
Oh my god, you spoiled it.
Swallow this.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.